Hello, welcome to Q&A with Terry A. and Christmas. Turned my sound the wrong way there. I'm really thrilled to have everyone on today. We have a special guest, a dear friend and cohort of mine, LaRue Epler. LaRue is an author, a trainer, a speaker, and a dynamic woman who has figured out how to address the challenges of life and turn them inside out and make something beautiful in them. She's fearless. She stepped out into the world on her own with a young child and went through the unknown and turned up a beautiful life for herself. She has written a book, Your Eternal Whisper, which is about tapping into your inner spiritual guide, that intuition, that little voice within, that when you want to do something and you hear that little nudge, you say, you don't want to do that. And it's very subtle, and oftentimes we don't hear it, so we go ahead and do it. And it's when we get that little nudge, yeah, you want to do this, and then we start analyzing. And, of course, we want to know that we're right before we begin. So we ask other people's opinion. And the reason I know you know the answer and it's already inside you is when your friends give you an answer that doesn't coordinate with what you were looking for, you won't take their answer. You will follow your own answer. You're just looking for validation and proof that it's going to be safe. Well, trust me, if your inner spiritual guide's talking to you, it's safe. And LaRue has developed a unique way not only to find and tap into your inner spiritual guide, your whisper. She turns up the volume for you so you can hear it, shows you how to listen to it, and actually teaches people through a muscle response feedback. I've lost it here, Murphing. She'll explain that, how to know, to tap into your guide to make decisions. And at this time of the year, we need help making decisions on where to shop, what to look for, how many things to get, and it gets dizzy. And my intention for the group today is that you have a joyful, stress-free holiday season and can get everything done you want and just stay in a state of pure joy and gratitude and astonishment for the way everything falls into place and finding that support is everywhere and everything gets done. So, LaRue, thank you for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you with me.
Thank you, Perrier. I'm delighted to be here. I love and adore you, so it's so fun to get to do this teleseminar with you today. Thanks so much for inviting me.
You're welcome. Can you speak up just a little louder?
Is this better? Is that
yes.
Better? Okay, good. I guess my headset wasn't adjusted properly. So good. I'm glad you can hear me better. Yeah,
okay.
I'm delighted to be here. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time. And this is the first time we've ever done anything like this together. So it's a lot of fun for me. Thank you.
Well, I am just thrilled to have you, particularly at this time of the year. And I'd like to ask you a little bit about how you came by your knowledge. You're such an entrepreneur of starting things, and you just found a way that made life work for you and stepped out to share it. So what were your motivation that helped you step into the unknown and go forward and find your way?
Well, great question, because in the late 80s, in my 20s, I was desperate. You know, sometimes when life isn't working so well and you come to that moment of desperation, that's when life changes for us. And for me, I was at that place where life either had to work or I was out of here. But at least that's what I thought. And I had I was planning my suicide. And I had a young baby, and as I was planning, I'd already decided how I was going to take my life. I was just in the process of, like, when am I going to do it? And no sooner had I decided on the day until I had a thought, which I now know is a spiritual thought. And the thought that came to me was, if you kill yourself, your son will be raised by the same people who raised you, and you haven't turned out very well. And I knew then that my only option was to get well. And when we have a firm commitment in our heart and our soul that that's the only option. The universe hears us, and people and places and things come into our world and to, you know, to help us move on, you know, onto our path in the next step. And so a few months after that, maybe it was even a year, I ended up in Texas and was looking for my life's work, and went to a free introductory lecture one night where they taught muscle testing. And my friend had gone the week before, and she said, this is what you're looking for to change your life. And all week long, I felt this bubbly excitement in my heart and soul because I could feel the truth of what she was saying. Now, you have to understand, I wasn't aware. I had not done any spiritual or personal development work, maybe a little bit of reading at the time, but not any really deep work. But something inside me was bubbly and happy, and it was very different because I'd been depressed for a long time. And I knew there was something about what she said felt true. And so I went to that evening, and the woman demonstrated muscle testing. It was so amazing because she handed us a questionnaire with 10 true or false questions, and I answered them as honestly as I could. And then later she asked for someone to demonstrate the process on, and up I went, up in front of the group, and she said, bring your piece of paper. We're going to muscle test the answers. And I said, oh, I already answered them. And she said, no, we're going to ask your unconscious wisdom. And I thought, oh, thank God I've been honest, you know, because I always lied on little quizzes, because if you, it's true though, but if you saw the answers to my quizzes, you know, like in Cosmopolitan on my coffee table or something, you know, you might know the truth about me and reject me and not love me. So I always answered them, you know, with lies of what I thought was the acceptable thing, you know. And it's a funny thing, but it's actually a very painful thing to live our life that way, which is why my life wasn't working. I was living my life for everyone else except, you know, the life that God put me here to live. And so I took my little piece of paper up, and she muscle tested me. It was the first time I'd ever been muscle tested. And she's like, and making little notes. And then she finished the test, and she looked at me, and she said, well, you have 9 out of 10 wrong, according to your unconscious wisdom. And I was stunned, you know, because I had truly answered them as honestly as I could. And that's the moment that I realized, wow, that's why my life is so screwed up. Because I make choices thinking I'm making the right choice. I apologize for my voice today. It's a little cracky and got a little congestion today. But we make choices that we think are the right choices, you know, with all of our heart and soul, with everything that we know. And yet we fall on our faces and we end up disappointed. And my life in that moment when she said that to me, it made sense to me because I realized that what I consciously think and what I unconsciously believe are not the same. And that 9 out of 10 times, I don't know what's going on. I'm thinking I'm making a conscious choice. So I got real excited because I knew in that moment there was a way to tap into what was really going on inside of me and a way to change it. And I convinced the woman to train me. I had no money. I said, train me. I know this is my life's calling. And when I make money, I'll pay you. And that's what I did. And my life started to work. And you said something earlier, like I was fearless. You know, I know that it looks that way sometimes to people, that I'm fearless and I, you know, jump off into the void with my young son and come to Texas and do all these things. But I really am not without fear. But I have a way of diffusing the fear, and I have a way with muscle testing of getting to the root of what that fear really is, and I can do it quickly rather than being stuck in it for, in my case, years like I was in the past. For, you know, now it's more, you know, hours or maybe a day before I realize, or sometimes it's minutes, but I have a way of tapping into it, finding out what's really going on and diffusing that fear so that I can keep moving forward in my life. So that's how I got into my line of work, is desperation, really. Are you still there? Did we lose
yes,
you?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. So, was there another question you had for me?
Well, that has led us to your journey, and then you wrote the book and started helping people. And what I understand is they have beliefs, maybe that are not serving them there, that have been there since childhood, that are still making decisions in their life, and mm-hmm. how to discern between those.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of those beliefs that we have, Perrier, they're unconscious. We don't even know that some of the beliefs that we have. But, you know, our life is a printout of our belief system. So if we look at our life and we look at the condition that it's in, some of those conditions we like, you know, one area of our life we may have together, you know, but another area of our life may not work so well. And we have beliefs that are creating that reality. Now, that used to really make me angry when people would tell me something like that, because I would look at that and I would say, believe me, I would not create this, you know, and I would argue with you about it because, you know, I couldn't see that I was creating it. But what I didn't know was that it was my unconscious mind that was creating it. And I remember early on in my journey, just before I moved to Texas, it was around the time, you know, I had been suicidal. It was right after it, actually. I had read Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. I love that book. It's, to me, for the basic beginners on their personal growth journey, and it's for advanced people because it's the simple basics that never go away. And she said in there that your thoughts create reality, and I remember just being infuriated when I read that. You know, because my life sucked, excuse me, but it was really bad. And then I had this other little thought that popped in, which I now know is an intuitive thought. And it had me question. It's like, but what if she's right? You know, what if this really is the key that could turn your life around? And so I began to really look at my thoughts deeply and began to see some thoughts that were really holding me back. I didn't yet know what to do about them, but at least I was starting to be aware, and awareness is the beginning of any change. We have to be aware of it first. So, you know, I fast forward, I came to Texas, you heard that story, I got trained, I started seeing clients, and my business just took off. Within 2 months, I was supporting myself and my little boy. And some years, about 3 years into this, I received an email talking about a workshop and to go to about listening to your inner voice. And life was going really well for me, and I didn't really feel like a need to go, but they called me on the phone and said, you know, this workshop, you know, usually fills up, but there's a spot open, and talked to me, and something they said just made me show up. And so I went to a workshop by a guy named Dr. D. Martini, who some of you probably know. He's a well-known spiritual teacher, and he did 2 days of theory that was way over my head, but at the end, near the end of the workshop, he said, now I'm going to teach you how to listen to the wisdom of your heart and your soul. And he said that your soul lives in your heart center. And he had all of us put our attention on our heart center and do this deep breathing and roll our eyes straight up. He says, if you put your eyes, look straight up, and you do deep, rapid breathing, that it will actually do something to the brain that causes you to be able to hear your higher self and disconnect your logical thinking. I may not say that scientifically, but that's kind of the essence of it. And so I did this deep breathing, and I got hyperventilated and, you know, thought I was going to fall out of my chair. And to back up, 6 months prior to going to this workshop, I had been hearing my home telephone ring, and it was a bizarre thing. I could be 1,000 miles from home, and I could hear my home phone ring, and this was before cell phones, okay? So it was a strange phenomenon, and I didn't know what to do about it, and you certainly don't tell people about things like that because, you know, they lock you up for things like that, right? So, I just didn't know what to do with it. So I would just disregard it and keep on going, but it happened frequently. And so that night in the workshop, when he said, put your attention on your heart and ask your soul what it wants you to know, I did that. I did my breathing and I asked. And this very quiet, soft inner voice spoke to me and it said, I've been calling and you haven't answered. And I had a flashback to my phone, that phone ringing. And I just started weeping and sobbing because I said, oh, my God, you mean I can talk to you? I can dialogue with you. And it said, I'm always here for you. And it started giving me instructions for my life. Now, what's really interesting, Perrier, is that muscle testing is accessing that very same source of wisdom as the inner voice. That small little voice inside is the same intelligence that when we are muscle testing the body and accessing intelligence, we're accessing that same field of intelligence. Some people call it God, infinite wisdom, the universe, Jesus, Buddha, really doesn't matter what you call it. It's the Creator's wisdom, and that's what we're tapping into, and that's what we're hearing when we hear our own inner voice or we're muscle testing and getting that data. So it was an interesting thing because for 3 years, you know, I had done thousands of sessions with people accessing that wisdom, but yet to talk to it with words, with language, was a whole new thing for me. And it was life-changing. And then a few years went by, and there was a woman named Vanessa Wesley who had trained with me in muscle testing, EvoK is what I call it now. And she did not know that I'd been trying to write a book. And I didn't know exactly what I was to write a book about. I just knew it was time to write a book. And she was living in Michigan, and we hadn't talked in about a year, so we had, you know, not really caught up. We didn't know what was going on in each other's lives. She called me out of the blue one day after I had just 6 months been trying to write a book, and it just wasn't working. I'd surrendered it to the universe, and I said, if you want this book written, you're going to have to write it. And she called, and she said, LaRue, I don't know. I hope I don't offend you, but I'm calling to offer to write your book for you. Now, she didn't know I'd been trying to write a book. And I just started sobbing because it was relief, and I knew it was the answer from the universe. You know, that there was someone calling to write the book, and I had surrendered it. So she started traveling with me and interviewing with me, and we had many dialogues, and that's when we wrote the book, and we realized that we were to write the book because everywhere I would go in my traveling in the U.S. and through Europe, people would ask the same question, how can I tell the difference of the voice in my head from the voice of my intuition and my inner spirit? And we wrote the book to answer that question. So that's how we came to the book, and it was actually her whisper that made her, what we call the intuition, the whisper, made her pick up the phone and call me. And, you know, my whisper was my surrender point where I said to the universe, write the book. And I had the wisdom to recognize the answer when it called me on the phone. So that's how we came to all of this.
Wow, that's an amazing journey. And today you offered to help us go through the holidays with less stress. So what would you recommend to the listeners?
Yes, I'm excited to talk about this. Thank you. You know, for years I thought I need to do a workshop or a seminar or something around holidays because I really think I can shed a new perspective and a new light around this for people with just some simple concepts. But next year, those of you who are listening today, if you get my free audio at howtomuscletestyourself.com and you practice that and you use it, and I'm also going to teach some other classes online this year, and you're in those, you can really master this. And not only this holiday, next holiday is going to be even less stressful because you're going to have mastered the tools that you're going to learn by getting that audio today. But here's the thing is that I want to talk about stress for a moment, right?
Yes.
Stress to me is an internal thing. It looks like, you know, it's the outside world that's creating the stress. You know, we have gifts to buy. We don't have enough money to buy them. You know, we've got to go to all these parties and, you know, we've got to get the right gift and please these people. And there's all this what we think is external pressure. But that stress is really caused by our perception of what we're telling ourselves about the external world. So to just lay a context for this, Perrier, is that in our natural state, we're peaceful and we're neutral. When we're at peace, we're neutral, right? We don't have a positive emotional charge on anything or a negative emotional charge on anything. Emotional charges create stress. Now, let me say this. Stress is not good or bad or right or wrong. It just is. And we get to determine what kind of stress we want to have or what we want to say about these things that we think are creating stress. So our natural state, we're neutral and we're at peace and there's no stress. When there's something emotional going on, and it could be a positive emotion, like there could be something exciting happening this holiday season, and you have a positive charge on that, that's an okay thing. It's just a positive stress. But there may be these fears and worries that create negative stress. You know, when I was a little girl, I was about 3 or 4. I know I wasn't in school yet. We spent one whole morning at the bank and with my father. And I was sitting on my dad's lap, and I said, what are we doing, Daddy? And he said, well, sweetheart, he said, I'm getting a loan. And I said, well, why are you getting a loan? What's a loan? And he told me it's how you borrow money from the bank and then you pay it back over time. And I said, well, why are you getting a loan? And he said, to buy you kids Christmas gifts. And it almost makes me cry to just think about that. It's so amazing. And I said, well, why are you doing that? And he said, because I don't have any money to buy you all Christmas gifts, and it would break my heart for you to go through Christmas without any gifts. And I could feel his love, but I could also feel his stress and his worry. So he would spend his whole year paying off the previous Christmas, and then he would go to the bank again and get another loan. I mean, obviously I came from a very poor family. There was a lot of stress for them because to go through Christmas and have all the other kids in the neighborhood not have gifts under the tree, they just couldn't bear it. So they would rather have the stress of the debt to not have to, you know, have us be without Christmas. So what I want to say is, I should have probably done this workshop months ago, so I could have laid a greater foundation, but there are some key things that I want to share that will help you through these holidays, and it is, this is a way to really help you eliminate stress, and it is, follow your energy. Let me tell you a story about that. Some years ago, I was doing my Christmas shopping, and I wanted to do all of my Christmas shopping in one store. And I was trying to force it. I thought I was going to find everything I wanted there, and I was going to get it done and have it done. And I kept forcing my way through the store, you know, like, I know it's here, I know it's here. Even when the clerks were telling me this item, we don't have it, this one last item. The more I forced, the more my energy drained. And finally, I was fatigued. And I had this little nudge inside me, this little whisper that's like, it's not here. Leave. Go. But I wasn't listening because I was so headstrong. I was not leaving there till I finished my Christmas. Well, finally, when I was exhausted, I left and I went to the car. I no longer had been in the car and started the engine till all of my energy returned. And it was something that was so significant. I'll never forget it because I realized that when your energy starts to drain, that's your inner wisdom telling you that's not the direction to go in. Go in another direction.
Wow.
Because, yes, that I've been using for over 20 years now. I learned that lesson and I pay attention. So I do that even in my daily life. Like if I'm planning my activities, sometimes, you know, I work with a lot of clients and I'll go to schedule them and I'll look at my schedule, you know, like to, let's say, they're rebooking a session for next week and I'll go, oh, I could fit them in here. And my energy starts to drain and I go, that's not going to work. Because what it's telling me is that's too many sessions for that day for you to be able to provide good session work and to be there for those people. It's not going to work. You see, or who knows, maybe, you know, that time eventually they may think it's going to work, but when it comes to that day, it won't. So I have very few cancellations and very few people who reschedule. And I think this is a big reason is because I'm following the energy of what feels right. If you're going in a direction and your energy is building, pay attention. You're going in the right direction. That one tip right there can save your holidays. You know, we sometimes say yes to a lot of things that we want to say no to. And when we do, we drain our energy. It creates stress. But when we say yes authentically and honestly and with our integrity, meaning it's what's really right and true for us, then we have energy to go through the holidays with. So that's my big tip on managing your energy. Now, I want to share how I do my Christmas shopping. Can I do that with you?
I'd love to hear that.
Okay, so again, to lay some context, I use muscle testing, and if there are any callers on the line that don't know what muscle testing is, it is a way of using your body as a feedback mechanism for higher wisdom to speak through your body through a yes or no response. Like when I'm working with you in session, you'll hold your arms out and a truthful response will cause, I'll put a little pressure on your outset stretched arms, just a small amount of pressure. And if I propose a yes or no question and the answer is, if your arms are strong when I put pressure on them, that means it's yes. If your arms weaken, that means it's a no, because see, untruth cause a weak response in the body. If we tell a lie, that's a negative emotional charge, and it makes our muscles weak. When we tell the truth, there's a stress response that's strong, and it makes your muscles strong, so you'd get a strong response from the body. So that's how I work one-on-one, is testing your arms with strong or weak responses. But you can do this for yourself, and you can, in an easy way, is to learn to use your full body as a pendulum, which means you would stand up for this. And so what you'll do is you program your body for a forward yes movement, and you'll say, show me a yes, and you just forget about your body doing anything and let it respond when it's ready, and just breathe and just focus on your breathing. And in a moment or two or three or four, it'll move forward to show you a yes. And then you reset, and then you say, show me a no, and you program your body to move backwards for a no, and you just breathe and you wait, and your body will move backwards. So you can literally be in a store and be using your whole body. You know, you could be looking at the oranges, and you could pick up this orange, and you could ask, is this orange healthy for me? And if you get a strong response or a forward movement, that orange is good for you. If you get a backwards movement, don't eat that orange. Now, what's also interesting about that is, Perrier, you and I could pick up the same orange. I might get a no for me, but you might get a yes for you, because what's good for me may not be good for you, and vice versa. So, right? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, there are amazing supplements out there, and there's one particular weight loss supplement, a protein drink that I was using years ago when I was traveling all over Europe because I wanted a good drink. And it was, to this day, many people get amazing results with it. For me, it leached my essential minerals out of my body, and I was about to have a heart attack because I was losing potassium. But I didn't muscle test it. You know, I asked, will this taste good? Because I wanted it to taste good. I wasn't asking what it would be healthy. I made an assumption it would be healthy. But it's healthy for a lot of people, but not me. So that's why muscle testing is so essential, because you can customize everything for yourself, you know? So back to shopping. So here's how I do my Christmas shopping. And I have to say, it's how I do my shopping all year long. Like if I'm going clothes, I rarely shop. But, you know, sometimes I have a special event coming up and I need a new outfit. So I'll make a list of all the stores that I typically like to shop at, and I'll number them, you know, let's say 1 to 5. And then I'll add another one, number 6, and I'll put store not listed here. So it lets me know that, you know, what I'm looking for may not be at that store, right? So here's what I do from the beginning. Is first of all, I set my intention, and I set my budget. So I kind of I have an idea of how much I want to spend, let's say, on Christmas shopping. Okay, and so I have, I'll get really specific. Let's say I want to buy a Christmas gift for my son, Ben. So I set a budget of how much I want to spend on my son. Okay, so I've got my budget, and then I set my intention. So your intention is important, too, when you're muscle testing. Because, see, give you an example I just shared earlier, is that a protein drink, my intention was, will this taste good? I wanted a good-tasting product. I found a really good-tasting product, but I didn't have an intention, will it be healthy for me, you know, for it to be healthy for me. So you set your budget and your intention. So for my son, I had my budget, and I want to buy the most ideal gift for Ben that he will absolutely love, that's within my budget. That's my intention. Does that make sense so far, Perrier?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now then, I make a list of the stores. Let's say he likes electronic gadgets, okay? So I would list electronic stores, all the electronic stores, you know, Best Buy, Apple, you know, just name all the stores, Brookstone, Amazon, not listed here. I'll always add not listed here. And then what I'll do is I'll stand up and I'll ask, and so I'll look at number one. Let's say number one is Brookstone. Is this item for my son, am I going to find it at Brookstone? And I'm looking for a yes movement or a no movement. And my body just said no. I got a backwards movement. It's no. So then I'll go to number two. Is this item that I'm looking for my son, that's going to make him happy and be within my budget, is it at Best Buy? yes or no, and I'm waiting for my body to respond, and it's going backwards. No, it's not at Best Buy. Is this item that I'm looking for my son, will I find it at the Apple store? And my body goes forward for a yes. So now I know it's at the Apple store. So if you want to narrow it down even further, let's say there may be a few Apple stores near you, you would want to put their location and then ask which location to go to, doing that same yes or no response. Did that make sense, the way I instructed that?
It made perfect sense to me, and I think it would make sense to my listeners as well. You explained that very well, and they are aware of intentions. We've talked about intentions all the time.
Just
I started the session with my intention for today. We do that. They're pretty familiar with that. I think that they can understand that very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because intention is everything, isn't it? I mean, when we get in our car to go somewhere, we have an intention of where we're going usually, the grocery store, the bank, to this meeting. Without an intention, the car doesn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So our intentions, you know, are our arrows that point us through life. You know, and it's essential. Clear intentions are important. So, Perrier, I usually do my Christmas shopping in a half a day.
I love it.
So do you get how it saves time? You know, because I used to spend weeks, you know, or days off and on over weeks doing my Christmas shopping and then go into all these stores. It's so friggin' stressful. You know, you can't find a parking place and you have to walk forever and then you stand in lines, and, right? You do all of that. You can just eliminate all of that. You just cut to it.
And I always have an intention to find a parking place.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, you might as well start there.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm saying, you know, it's a little last minute because, you know, heavy shopping going on right now, but it'll still help you out a lot. But even next year, you can start early and it'll make it even that much easier for you. But it's a wonderful tool, and it's how I live my life, Perry A. When I go to run errands, I muscle test in what order to run these errands. So, and it's not always logical, but it always works really well. And I get my errands done quickly.
If we just remembered to use it.
Yeah, you know, and for me, it's a part of my daily life for 25 years now. You know, I work with it with clients and myself. It really, if people could really get the power of what they've got access to, I mean, think about it. What you have access to is there is a part of you that you're a part of, connected to, this wisdom of the universe. It's the same intelligence that tells the trees when to drop their leaves every fall and when to regrow in the spring. We have access to that intelligence. We are one with that intelligence. Why would we go around spinning our wheels when we have direct access to it and a tool that cuts through our mental chatter and in all of our logic and says, no, do this. And it'll make it easy. So we just have to have an intention to remember and start practicing with it. And, you know, and there are some nuances. There are some times that, you know, if we're sick or we're confused or we're dehydrated, that the muscle testing will get, you know, kind of flaky answers. But there are ways to circumvent that too. And just know that sometimes when you're really sick, maybe you just need to lie low and it's not time to be testing. But most of the time, we'll get very accurate answers. You'll get a lot of that information at howtomuscletestyourself.com. I have an audio that talks about a lot of it, but I also have my email on there when you sign up for it. Well, you can email me your questions, and I can help you get through, you know, some of those challenges that sometimes people have. Not many, but sometimes people do.
Yes. We do have a question in queue, and I'm not sure if this is one you can help this lady with or not. It's from Julie in Maple Valley, and she said, I feel stuck. Have you ever heard that before?
All the time, yeah.
And I don't know how to move on. I moved into a new house and have been incapable of finishing the unpacking. It's been 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Any help would be much appreciated.
Wow, Julie, my heart goes out to you. I can only imagine how frustrating that is to have been in your new home and not be able to move forward. You know, I don't know that I have the right answer for you, Julie, but I'm just going to share what's coming to me, and Perrier, maybe you'll have something to offer as well. But here in my line of work, in the coaching that I do, when I'm stuck, it's because I'm having conflicting ideas or conflicting beliefs. Okay? Now, it might be really simple in your case. It may be you just don't know which rune to start on or which box to open first. And if it's that's the issue, I would say pick a room, pick a box, and get started. Or, you know, it may be that you need to get some help. It just may be so overwhelming I've been in situations like that when I've moved, and it's so overwhelming. It's like, someone, please just help me lift a box and start open a box and taking something out. So it could be that. But it also, and of course, Julie, I don't know Julie, so I don't know what's going on. It's kind of hard for me to say. But sometimes when we're stuck is that we have, you know, deeper conflicting beliefs, and we don't know what they are. And that's why it's so frustrating, and we can't move forward, because we need to be able to find them. And that's the beauty of muscle testing, the kind of muscle testing I do, because I have a whole system of beliefs, limiting beliefs, over 700, and then a list, you know, that says not listed here, and pointers in other directions, to find out what those beliefs are on the unconscious level so that they can be transformed rather quickly and move forward. But hopefully, Julie, some of my tips have helped you. I just hope that they have. If not, please, you know, let me know.
You know, she could use muscle testing, like, is this the box that I need to unload first?
I love that. Absolutely.
And to have an intention that it's going to be easy, and I'll actually have fun unpacking it.
Beautiful. Exactly. And she could even say, you know, is this the room to start in? Is the living room or the kitchen or the, you know, where should I start? You know, and I love that, Perry. Absolutely. You know, when I move, and I've moved quite a bit, I usually let go of things. And it used to be really stressful for me because, you know, we have emotional charges. There's stress to let go, attached to letting go of things because we're attached to our stuff, right? Finally, muscle testing makes it so easy. I ask, is it in my highest good to let this go at this time, this item go? And if I get a yes, I put it in my to-go pile. And so whether I am emotionally attached or not, I put it in that to-go pile, and it moves on to another home, and I'm so glad that I've let it go, and rarely do I ever miss it. I can't think of anything I've ever really missed by letting that stuff go.
Yes, and I know I've kept a lot of things people gave me because I love the person who gave it to me, but I have absolutely no use for the item.
Yes, exactly. Maybe we should just take a picture and put it in a photo album and send
but
it on.
I love that you said it will find its perfect home.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody there who wants that item.
Right, exactly.
And to release it and let it go to serve another purpose, to serve somebody's need and fulfill that need, sort of justifies you letting go of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
And there you're being in integrity with yourself, too. Mm-hmm. And it
That's
just
beautiful.
Really lightens your load.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yes. Let me see if we have any more questions. We have one from Stan Hanners. In the midst of desperation, we discover our inspiration. LaRue is an example, as well as a facilitator of this reality. Please speak more about subconscious mind and how the results we experience are working out in are the workings of our subconscious. The intent is not to be upset at the result we see, but to be drawn to the understanding of how we can redirect the subconscious to gain new results. And I think you did just speak to that a little bit, but do you have something else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I did. Well, first of all, hi, Stan. It's been a long time. How nice to see you on the call. I did speak to that, you know, the beliefs in our unconscious. And I loved what you pointed out, Stan, about, let me read this again, to see how to be drawn to the understanding of how we can redirect the subconscious to gain new results. Because we can really look at when we're stuck and we're not moving forward and we have all this stuff going on our unconscious as a block or a limitation, like our unconscious is trying to sabotage us and hold us back. I tend to look at it very differently. I have found that my unconscious mind is my friend. Because think of it like this. Everyone knows what a hard drive is on a computer, right? Well, think of your unconscious mind, or your subconscious mind, as the hard drive to your computer. And so just envision, you know, a little box. It's like a hard drive. And think about every experience you've had in life with your mother when you're little telling you no, and your dad, you know, saying, I'm borrowing money for Christmas. All this gets stored in the hard drive. Well, what my unconscious mind says, late, many years later, when I was an adult about money, is I felt all this sadness at Christmas. I didn't feel happiness because it meant debt and dad struggling and that sort of thing. But I learned that that was programming in my hard drive. So I looked at that one day, and I went, wow, this is a limitation. That my beliefs that, you know, we're supposed to go in debt to have Christmas gifts, and that you have to be in debt all year. And I realize now that's not true. But when I had that belief, or I had that feeling come up in that sadness, that's my unconscious saying, you know, this belief doesn't fit with who you are today. Now it's time to transform it. So what do you choose instead? Now, it's really easy for me to say just focus on what you want and redirect your intention. And that works most of the time. Until we have something emotional or some big stressor happen in our life, and then we revert back to our unconscious programming. And that's why I like to refer people to things like energy tapping or EFT or any kind of change methodology. And I use a lot of them in my practice, because when you can find the true unconscious belief and transform it, it will stop reasserting itself and it won't show up at Christmas. Like, I don't feel sad at Christmas like I used to. So our unconscious mind is talking to us all the time, and it usually shows up in the form of doubt or fear. We may not know, you know, when we're going through life, we may not know what that unconscious belief is, but we'll feel stuck, or we'll feel doubt, or we'll feel fear in a given situation. And you can train yourself to go inside and ask yourself, what is it that I believe right now that's causing me to be afraid? And if you look at your thoughts, you'll find them. And that's when you begin to work with those thoughts and ask, what do I want instead? I think it's appropriate that I share this. I shared earlier about reading Louise Hay, and she said, your thoughts create your reality. Now, I know this is not new thought for many of you here on the call, because you've got some really savvy listeners. And I know I promoted this to my people, and they're pretty savvy as well. But this technique might be really useful for at least a few people on the call. So when I read her book and she said, your thoughts create your reality, and I thought, gosh, what if that's really true? I came up with a formula for changing my thinking. And it was to notice my thought and to ask my thought, do I want this thought to manifest? And if the answer was no, I would ask myself, what is the reality that I want to manifest instead of this? And I'll give you a real true example from that time in my life. I was so broke, I got a notice from the telephone company saying they were about to cut off my phone. And I had made a commitment some months before that I was going to control my thinking and redirect it no matter what, okay? So here came my challenge from the universe. So I get this bill, this notice they're going to turn my phone off. And I was terrified because I didn't have the money to pay my bill, right? And I had all this fear well up in my body. That's a sign that there's some limiting beliefs there in the unconscious. And so I felt the fear, and I said, okay, what do I want? Because I didn't want my phone to be cut off. My fear was they were going to cut my phone off. And it took me a while because I wasn't used to thinking this way. And I remember I finally come up with, well, I want to be able to at all times walk over to my phone, pick it up, and have a dial tone at all times. And I want, when I write my check, to have the money to clear the bank. I don't know how it happened, but that's what happened. Somehow the money came, I wrote my check, it cleared the bank, and I had my dial tone, and my phone never got cut off. But that was a very practical example of how you work with your unconscious to redirect it. I hope, do you think that was useful, Perrier?
You know, I think the stories really help, and I'd like to share one, too. The stories help show you how to put it into practicality everyday life.
Right.
My daughter called me day before yesterday, and she needed 22 jingle bells for her kindergarten class this week. She needs them the next day. And she suggested the dollar store, and I went, and I found one of the little door handles with three silver jingle bells. They need to be silver bells because they were going to watch on Friday the Christmas from the North Pole or something, and they were going to put the jingle bells and freeze them so they'd be cold, as if they just, the kids had gotten them from the North Pole.
Oh,
and they
how
all
cute.
Had them all wrapped up. And she didn't want the little bitty ones. Now, I found three at the dollar store that were silver and a whole bunch that were gold. So I got the three. I thought I could cut them off. I went to two more dollar stores, another store, no jingle bells. So I was going to Target. I thought, Target's a big store. Target's going to have it. I'm going to set an intention that I'm going to find those jingle bells in Target. And I had this confidence in me when I set that intention. It wasn't a no, it was a positive. They are there. I knew they were there. And I went in, I went to the Christmas section, looked and looked and looked, no jingle bells. Mm-hmm. They didn't even have the door hanger with the big jingle bells, no little jingle bells. I called a Walmart associate, and he got on the phone and said, we don't have any jingle bells. Now, I'm still walking out knowing those jingle bells are in the store, and I get to the housewares department, and they have some Christmas stuff up. And I thought, okay, I'm going to walk through here. And, of course, I'm looking for these hanging on a little strip like the ones I saw at the dollar store. There was a lady at the other end of the aisle with her shopping cart. What possessed me to open my mouth and make a comment to a total stranger? I have no idea other than divineness. And I said, can you believe that Target doesn't have jingle bells at Christmas time? And she said, oh, I just saw some. And she backs up, and here are these boxes. Not only were there 12 to a box, but they were on half price.
Oh, wow.
So I got 36 jingle bells to make sure we had enough. They were more pewter than silver, but a kindergarten kid isn't going to know the difference between pewter and silver. And my daughter was thrilled. And I walked out to the car skipping and thankful, and just in such joy and gratitude that, wow, I didn't give up, and I did know they were in that store somewhere. I knew more than the associates that work in the store. Isn't that great?
Yeah. That is the best. That is a precious story, and I love it, what you said about you knew it.
I did, and I just got back from Paris, and my other intention when I went to Paris was that support is everywhere, because I had this fear of getting lost in places and not being able to speak, and I was with the group, but still getting to the airport and getting my car parked and, you know, all those things, and I said support is everywhere. I had the most stress-free holidays. I did not have to worry about how to get from a tram to a train to a whatever to the carousel. Mm-hmm. I had somebody that led me all the way. And one airport, the gentleman, when you're gray hair, these little people in the carts will offer you a ride. And, of course, my gate was at the very end of the concourse, and he gave me a ride right to my gate. And when I got home, my bag was coming off the carousel, and, of course, after being in Paris and buying gifts, it was rather heavy, and I had two bags, and a gentleman was staying there, a young boy, and I said, would you help me with that bag? And he got it for me, and I'm waiting for the other one, and he takes a couple of bags off, and he's still standing there, and I'm thinking, well, he's got another bag coming, too. And a little bit, here comes my matching bag, and he said, is this yours? And I said, yes, and he grabbed it for me, and I said, were you waiting all this time just to get my bag? And he said, yes. And he was about 17 years old with a group of kids that had been traveling together. And I thought that was the sweetest thing. I thought, well, you're my angel today, and I have been blessed. And do you know how good that makes you feel to know that support is just everywhere like that, and people are grateful and really appreciate being able to help you?
It's beautiful. I love that. Oh, that's a great story, Perrier. And, you know, no doubt he felt good, too, to get to be your angel.
Yes. I had someone tell me yesterday they live by themselves and something they couldn't do. And I said, do you have a neighbor you can ask? And she said, well, I don't feel good about it. I said, do you like helping people when someone asks you? And she said, oh, I love it. And I said, why would you deny them that same joy? Because it gives us great value to be of service.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, just ask them to be honest. If it's inconvenient, please tell you, because truth and honesty and integrity is always the primary goal. I want everybody to answer me from honesty and integrity, because they may not be the perfect person to help me.
Exactly. That's right. Because it will serve both parties if it's the right person.
Yes. Well, yes. Rue, it's been wonderful having you on the show today, and I'd like you to again give your email address or the website where they can go and get contact with you and get on your list. And I'm on LaRue's list. And you always get wisdom when you get one of LaRue's newsletter or messages. So I encourage all of you to tap into this resource. And if you have a real deep problem, contact LaRue. She's absolutely wonderful at unraveling the bird nest of knots that we get in our lives.
Oh, thank you. It's howtomuscletestyourself.com is where you get the free audio. And my website, it'll lead you to the same, no, it's a different page. LaRueEbler.com as well will tell you all about my private session work and seminars. But the howtomuscletestyourself.com is where you'll get your free audio.
Okay, and LaRue Eppler is L-A-R-U-E, LaRue, E-P-P-L-E-R.
That's it. And Perrier, thank you so much. You are such a joy and delight. And I have to say, I love your product. I love the clay. I didn't know that you could use it for all the things you can use it for. It's really phenomenal.
Well, it really comes in handy during the holidays when you're baking those cookies, too, and burn yourself. So
keep
your clay handy, and I will see everybody next year. Have a wonderful, joyful, happy holiday season, and use LaRue's muscle testing. It's so easy. You just stand there and ask the question and notice your body will give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it myself and trust it. That's the thing. You
mm-hmm.
don't need validation from someone else, because if it's the wrong answer, you don't want to take it anyway. You have the answer you are looking for. Isn't that powerful to know that
beautiful.
You are the answer you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
You just need to trust it. And when you do the muscle testing, it'll tell you if it's a thought. If you start analyzing, then you're thinking too much. Don't analyze. Just trust your feeling. Is that right?
That's it. You've got it.
So we wish you all a happy holiday season, whatever your belief is. Go forth with joy, find a way to be of service and help someone, and have a magnificent, joyful, family-filled, loved, safe holiday season until we meet again. This is Perrier and LaRue Eppler signing off for 2013. Nice way to end the day, don't you think, LaRue?
I think so. Beautiful. Really beautiful.
Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye, dear.
Bye-bye.